Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, page 1200 in your Scofield Bible, and we'll start with chapter 7, verse 18. We'll read responsively through verse 25, and then we'll read together the text verse, chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 25, and then chapter 8 and verse 1. And let's stand, please, as is our custom to do, for the reading of God's Word. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Let's read together the text verse, verse 1 of chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And let's pray. And Father, what a gracious God you are. Thank you for your great goodness to us, for giving us the privilege of being at this particular place, at this particular time. There's a lot of folks in the world love to be just where we are, with the advantages and privileges that we share. Thank you for our church. We pray for your blessing now on this service in a very special way. And please give us of thy Spirit's nearness, power, and blessing upon the hearing of thy servant, our preacher, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this book. May we always accept it as thy book and as a spiritual book. And may we enter its pages realizing that only the teacher or the author of this book can be our teacher. Else we go into false teaching. And so tonight we come to teach a truth that's especially misunderstood in the Christian world. Give us attentiveness in spite of the warmth of the temperature. And speak to us. Amen. If I had been in charge of things today, we would have had the air conditioner running if I were God, and the weather would have been warmer, cooler. We've been more comfortable because the sermon I'm going to bring tonight requires rather rapt attention. And if I were God, the whole universe would be in chaos also. But I do want to speak tonight on this subject, no condemnation. And I'm going to teach you something about Romans 8:1 that I dare say nobody in this room has ever heard before. I have never read what I'm going to teach you in a book. It may be in a book, I don't know. But this verse, Romans 8:1, perhaps is one of the most disputed verses in the Bible. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now here's the old conflict, age-old conflict. There are those who believe that salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of works, and that justification comes, and justification basically is God declaring us not condemned, and our sins not judged and charged against us. But There are those who believe that a person is justified by faith, that when a person comes in Christ Jesus, he is free of condemnation. On the other hand, there are those that say that that scripture doesn't end there. There's therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. But they say that we people who believe in justification by faith have no right to stop there. But the scripture goes on to say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And they'll say that in order to have no condemnation before God, you have to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, who's right? Is there no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? Or is there no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? Who is right? Well, of course, as you know, both are right. Now, follow me carefully. There's a singular subject here and a double object. There is therefore now no condemnation. That's singular. But there's the double object. There's no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. And there's no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, there's a twofold object here. It could be put this way. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then it could say, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, there are two condemnations here. This is what I want to say, and I want you to follow me carefully here. There are two condemnations here. It's not talking about just one condemnation. There are two condemnations. There's the condemnation that is alleviated when a person is in Christ Jesus. Then there's another condemnation that is alleviated when a person walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God isn't saying that a person is justified in his stand before God because he is in Christ Jesus and walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He's saying there is a condemnation that is gone when a person comes into Christ Jesus. But there remains yet another condemnation for that person. That condemnation is alleviated or is taken away when that person walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Don't leave me. The first condemnation has to do with our position before God. The second condemnation has to do with our condition before God. Those who are in Christ Jesus, as far as their position is concerned, have no condemnation against them. But the condemnation remains concerning their condition, their relationship with God. So there's another condemnation that must be removed, and that's the condemnation of sanctification or position, which takes me to the next explanation. One condemnation has to do with justification. The other condemnation has to do with sanctification. There's therefore now no condemnation concerning justification to them who are in Christ Jesus. Then there's therefore now no condemnation concerning sanctification to them who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? There are two condemnations here, two condemnations. And there are two different steps of this. There's therefore now no condemnation judicially before God to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now it confronts us a second condemnation. And that condemnation is taken away if we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul teaches in Romans that we're justified by faith. James seems to throw us a curve when the Holy Spirit inspires him and James to say we're justified by works. Now, since no condemnation basically is justification, God is teaching us here that there are two justifications. One is the justification before God. The other is the justification before man. A person is justified before God because he's in Christ Jesus. A person is justified before man because he walks the kind of life he ought to walk and lives the kind of life he ought to live. An old illustration I used three or four times through these many years here. And I love the illustration. Let's suppose tonight that, let's take one of these little taverns over in Calumet City. I'm not trying to trick anybody, does anybody know... Brother Claire, you know the names of any of those dancers over there, those girl dancers? What? Cynthia. Roy said Cynthia. You think he's kidding, but that's where he used to hang out before he got saved. Oh, it's another one, huh? Well, down in Texas, there used to be a dancer that was advertised in the paper. She got in trouble with the law. Her name was Candy Barr. Sounds good. That was her name. They advertised, come and see Candy Barr. She was a stripper and a dancer and so forth, and she was a very well-known figure in Dallas because of the... I didn't intend to say that. And you're the one that's got the dirty mind, not me. She was a very well-known personality in Dallas because every Saturday afternoon, the Dallas Times Herald, they'd have a big ad there, say, come and see Candy Barr. And she also got in some trouble with the law and front page about Candy Barr's trial. Now, let's just suppose that there's a dancer or a stripper or something over here in Calumet City. We won't use the one Brother Moffat knows. Cynthia will use Candy Barr. Let's suppose that there's a gal over there named Candy Barr, and she dances at... What's the name of one of those places over there, Roy? What? Double Z, all right. So, that Double Z hadn't been there. It wasn't there before you got saved. You go soul winning there. All right, very fine. And, let's suppose that this gal, Candy Barr, was as known, well, suppose that she was over there at the Double Z, and let's suppose that her picture had been in the paper and everybody here, like they used to in Dallas, knew this, this Candy Barr. Let's suppose one Sunday morning, I'm sitting up here on the platform, and Brother Bordway hands me a note. And he says, the note says, Brother Hiles, do you know who just walked in and sat down back in the back? Candy Barr. Candy Barr came to church here. She's sitting back in the back. And there she is back there. She's got a plunging neckline. She's got a miniskirt on. She's got her clothes are too tight. Face looks like she's an evangelist's wife. And I'm sorry. Folks, it's hot up here tonight. And but there, we may never get out of here. But so there she is sitting back there with her face painted like a Michelangelo job, and tight clothing and miniskirt and a tight sweater and a plunging neckline. And so I turn around, and the Bordway turns around, and I say, let's spread the word to the choir and ask them to pray that Candy Barr will get saved. I doubt if Candy Barr has ever been to church. And there she sits back there. And soon the word spreads across the choir that Candy Barr is sitting back there. And all during the service, the choir is praying for Candy Barr to get saved. And I preach, and I preach because I realize that if Candy Barr could get saved, probably hundreds and thousands of others would get saved because of her testimony. So I preach that morning, and I'm praying for Candy Barr. The choir is praying for Candy Barr. Invitation comes, and sure enough, right down that center aisle walks Candy Barr. Brother Colston meets her. She says, hi, John. And we may as well have fun. It's hot in here tonight. Very hot, isn't it? And Brother Colston says, Candy, aren't you Candy Barr? She says, yes, I'm Candy Barr. And I want to be saved. I've lived a wicked life, and I know it, and I want to be saved. Let's suppose that she kneels here at the altar, and she comes to Christ. Let's suppose that Candy Barr, this stripper and dancer from Calumet City, trip her over here. Let's suppose that she's sincere and she's saved. Now, the minute that she says yes to Jesus and relies upon Him and His penalty, payment for her penalty on the cross and His resurrection after 72 hours, not what she's done, but what He did. Not do, but done. And she totally just steps out in faith and says, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm lost, and I know that Jesus paid the penalty for sinners, and I rely upon Him for my home in heaven and accept His gift of eternal life. That moment, she's saved. Now there's no condemnation for her. None. As far as God's concerned, she's never danced a dance. As far as God's concerned, she's never given a performance. As far as God's concerned, she's never committed the scarlet sin. As far as God's concerned, her record is clean as the record of Jesus Christ, because His record is imputed to her, and judicially before God, she is justified. And why? Because God can see the heart, and God knows she was sincere. That settles it. Boy, we have a wonderful service. Candy Bar got saved. Let's suppose the next Sunday morning, any of you married men down here have a child 4 or 5 years old who does? Who has a child 4 or 5 years? Anybody around here, anywhere? Do we have any 4 or 5 year old children? Give me a man that has a, okay, how old? 4, all right. Let's suppose that next Sunday morning, you and your wife come to Sunday school, and you take your child to beginner one department, and suppose that that Candy Bar is at the door. And Candy Bar has on the same sweater she had on last Sunday morning, has on the same short miniskirt, has on the same plunging neckline and tight sweater, and looks exactly like she did. But now, wait a minute. She was sincere. She got saved. So is she justified? Yes or no? Is she going to heaven? Yes or no? Are there any sins recorded against her in God's eternal book? Yes or no? No, she's justified. God saw her heart. But there she stands at the door, beginner one department. And so Candy Bar says, well, good morning. What's your daughter's name? First name. What? Melissa? Melissa. And Candy Bar says, good morning, Melissa. I'm your new superintendent. And you say to your wife, I want to talk to you, honey. You think we ought to leave Melissa in this department? Let me ask you a question. If next Sunday morning, Candy Bar, she gets saved this Sunday morning, next Sunday morning she's superintendent of the beginner one department, and you take Melissa up there to the department, Candy Bar is the superintendent of that department, would you be pleased? What are you, a Pharisee? You are. He started to say yes, didn't you? You wouldn't be pleased. Now, wait a minute. Her sins are forgiven, aren't they? Right? Her name's written in heaven, right? She's justified in the sight of God. Is that right? But she's not justified in your sight yet, because you can't see her heart. If she was sincere, God knows it, but you don't know it. So what do you want? You say, come down to my office, and you have my secretary give me a buzz, and I come out in the hallway, and you're there, and you say, Brother House, do you know who's superintendent of the beginner department? Beginner one? Sure, Candy Bar. Brother House, you think she ought to be superintendent of that department? What's wrong? She got saved last Sunday. She's forgiven, justified, but you see, God could see her heart. And that's why that in the sight of God, justification is by faith. Because God can see the heart, and God knows the sincerity. But you can't see the heart. And the truth is, Candy Bar should not be the superintendent of beginner one department yet. Candy Bar should spend a little while proving herself and justifying herself in our sight before she superintends the beginner one department. So she is justified by faith in the sight of God, but her faith is justified by works in the sight of man. So Paul is right in Romans where he said, therefore, by man justified by faith, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified. Him that worketh not believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Paul is right, but James is right. James is talking about justifying a Candy Bar in the sight of men, whereas Paul is talking about justifying Candy Bar in the sight of God. So, now wait a minute. If Candy Bar up there in that short miniskirt, plunging neckline, tight sweater, all that paint on her face. She's not justified in your sight yet, and you'd condemn her.
She shouldn't be up there. Nobody wearing that kind of a outfit be up there. She shouldn't be there. So there is still condemnation, is that right? There is therefore now no condemnation them which are in Christ Jesus. But when they come to Christ and are not condemned before Him, there is still condemnation. And that condemnation will continue until Candy Bar proves to us by the outward appearance that she was sincere. And I'm a little sick and tired of these people that call us legalists when God says that there's a second justification and people are not only supposed to be justified before God by their faith, but by the way we live, the way we talk, the way we sing, the way we dress, the way we wear our hair. These outward manifestations of an inward condition are necessary in order that we should be justified before men. That's what it means when it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so Paul is talking about two condemnations here. There are two righteousnesses. In Romans 10:1, Paul says, brethren, my prayer to God and heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear the record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So when a person is in Christ Jesus by faith, he then has, as far as God's concerned, he is righteous. His sins have brought it out as far as God's book is concerned. Not one single sin is written down against you in heaven if you are in Christ Jesus. For when you come in Christ Jesus, God does not see you, but He sees the one in whom you are, and your record is covered by Jesus' record and is spotless and blameless in the sight of God Almighty.
But that doesn't mean you're not blameless, that you're blameless in other before men. So there's a second righteousness. There is your own personal righteousness. And that righteousness, personal righteousness, comes when you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You follow what I'm trying to say? Let's forever settle this matter of whether or not there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, or there's no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There are two condemnations here, and God is saying there's no condemnation before God to them who are in Christ Jesus, and there's no condemnation before man to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There are two condemnations. There are two deliverances. In Christ Jesus is mentioned 78 times in the epistles alone. In Christ Jesus, or in Christ, such as if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. They're baptized by one Spirit into one body, and that is the body of Christ. And so, that's mentioned 78 times in the epistles. And then over and over again, you have the term about walk. You walk in the Lord. Our walk in the Lord. Our walk, the walk not in rioting, but walk in honesty and walk worthily according to the vocation whereunto you're called. Our walk. So, as far as our standing before God, we are not condemned when we come into Christ Jesus. As far as our standing before man, we're not condemned when we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now let me take a little time and explain. Here's a lost man. That lost man walks down. Well, he tries to get saved, but he's condemned. Why? Because every sin he's committed is charged against his record. You know tonight, if you're not saved, that every sin you've ever committed is written down in heaven and is charged against your record. Every time you've lied, every time you've stolen, every time you've cursed, every time you've had an evil thought, every time you've committed an immoral deed, if you're not saved, every single sin you ever committed is written in heaven against your record. Well, you say, I want to get religious. So you come and join the church. Okay, you joined the church, but I'm sorry, you still are condemned. But you say, okay, then I'll get baptized. I'm sorry, if that's all you did to get saved, or if you even tried that included that in your salvation, you're still condemned.
Your sins are still there. That's what it means. Your sins are still there. Your record is still there. You're still condemned. The Bible says, "Hearing to him that believeth not is condemned already." Somebody says, "Well, Brother Hiles, when I die, I don't want to be condemned when I die." If you're not saved, you're condemned already. He that believeth is not condemned. I stand tonight not condemned in the sight of God. Why? Because I am in Christ Jesus. How did I get in Christ Jesus? I believed in the Christ Jesus. And I'm not condemned. But this fellow says, "I don't want to take that old-time religion, the old-time gospel. I'll get confirmed, and then I'll be religious." You may get confirmed, but that won't pay your debts. You owe debt. The wages of sin is death, and you owe the debt. Well, you say, "Then I'll go to confession." You can go to confession all you want to, but that won't pay the debt. After you get out of this baptistry, unless you're in Christ Jesus, you got the same record in heaven you had before you got in that baptistry. After you took the little Holy Eucharist from the Reverend Father, if you're not in Christ Jesus, you have the same debt you had before he gave you the Holy Eucharist. You got to get the debt cared for. You're in debt. You got to get it cared for. You say, "What do I do to pay for it?" You can't pay for it. Let's suppose it were possible for a person to turn over a new leaf and live a perfect life. Let's suppose that person came down this aisle and said, I promise God from this moment forward, I will live a perfect life." And let's suppose that were possible. If it were possible, he still couldn't go to heaven because the debts that he incurred and the sins he committed before he came down the aisle are still charged against his record. Suppose that you have any debts, Brother Keith? You have a credit card or something? What credit card? What company? Name one place you owe money to besides me. Sears. Let's suppose Brother Keith owes $650 to Sears tonight. He walks over to Sears and suppose tonight he walked down the aisle and says, "I promise God I'll never get in debt again." He goes to Sears tomorrow and says, "I've got some good news for you. I'm never going to buy anything on credit here again. Never again." They say, "Well, okay, but you owe us $650. He says, "I'll guarantee you one thing. I'll never owe you any more. This moment forward, I'll never buy anything on credit again." Well, how about the $650? Listen, Mr. Sears can baptize you and Mr. Roebuck can confirm you. But they're going to hang you for that $650. And no matter what you do from now on, you've got the record from now back. And you come to God and say, "I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to live right." You may live right from now on, but you're still in debt to God. Well, this lost man tries it all. He tries everything. And then one day, he hears the gospel. Somebody tells him, Romans 4:5 says, him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Somebody tells him, he that believeth is not condemned. Somebody tells him, John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." He hears that wonderful story. He hears the wonderful story here in our text tonight, there's therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden, that man says, "I can't do it myself. The church can't do it. Baptistry can't do it. Communion can't do it. The priest can't do it. The preacher can't do it. The rabbi can't do it. But Jesus can do it." He gets on his knees at the altar and says, "Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. I can't pay my debt. But Jesus, I heard tonight in the sermon that you paid it for me on the cross in full. Jesus, I rely on that payment as my hope for heaven, and I trust you as my Savior now." That very moment, God takes his eraser in the glory world and scratches off every sin you ever committed and writes in the place everything that's good about Jesus. And God does not see your sin on your record. God sees Jesus' perfection against your record. And you can say, "Glory to God, not condemned." And then all of a sudden, he realizes that's one condemnation taken care of. It's all charged to Jesus. Paid for. Jesus paid it all. The
The old account was settled long ago. That's one condemnation. But there's another. You've got to have another condemnation removed so you can be beginner of the superintendent of the beginner one department someday. So this Pharisee will let his kids come to your class. So you face another condemnation. Not a condemnation about salvation, but a condemnation about fellowship. God said, as far as your standing before me is concerned, it is settled. No condemnation. But as far as your fellowship with me is concerned, there's still got to be some improvement. So a fellow reads the last part of Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Two condemnations, two deliverances, two freedoms, two different doctrines. The doctrine of justification, no condemnation because of what Jesus did. The doctrine of sanctification, no condemnation because of what you do or how you live and you walk in His Spirit and not after the flesh. And that person hears it. He tries to live right, but he can't. He wants to fellowship with God, but somehow that fellowship is not sweet. There's still a condemnation. Something's against his record. Not as far as heaven's concerned, but as far as fellowship on earth's concerned, something is against his record. One day he hears about the blessed Holy Spirit. He hears about this person that came in when he got justified at salvation, when he lost his condemnation as far as his standing before God was concerned. And he falls on his face at the same old-fashioned altar where he got justified the first time and says, "Oh, Spirit, I can't do it. I couldn't save myself. I trusted Jesus to save me. By faith I got saved, and there's no condemnation concerning my standing before God. But Holy Spirit, I've come to another realization. I can't do this one either. Holy Spirit, help me. I yield myself to you. I'll walk with you." And all of a sudden, he starts walking in the Spirit. And then God says, "I'll fellowship with you now." And there's no condemnation to him. Blessed be God. I'm talking to folks tonight to whom there is double condemnation. I'm talking to folks tonight who've tried to save yourself by living a good life, but your record still has every sin of your life against it. I'm talking to folks tonight who've tried to save yourself by joining the church. You've tried to save yourself by getting baptized. You've tried to save yourself by living a good life, and you've deceived others that you're saved, and even have deceived yourself that you're saved, but you never have come to the place to where you said, "I can't do it. Jesus can. I trust Him and what He did to take care of it." And you stand tonight condemned before God and every sins against your record. But I have good news for you. You can have that condemnation removed by being in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. How do you get in Christ Jesus? You rely upon Him and what He's done to save your soul from hell. And He comes and makes you His child, writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and totally covers every sin with the blood of Christ and writes His righteousness on top of under your name. And you have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. I wish folks could understand and get away from this pride of thinking you can do something to save yourself. I just don't think a person who lives like a devil can be saved. Well, the honest, simple truth is, a person who's saved will not live like the devil, but I'll guarantee you one thing. You're not saved by quitting living like the devil. You're saved by an acceptance of the gift of eternal life on the basis of what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. But I'm talking to others tonight who can say, "No condemnation!" concerning your position before God. But you can't say no condemnation concerning your condition with God. Why? Because you are not walking after the Spirit, but you're walking after the flesh. Now, wait a minute. He's not talking here about walking after drunkenness alone. That's not it. He's not talking about just walking after adultery and fornication and lesbianism, homosexuality and lasciviousness. No, that's what you want to make it say, but that's not what it says. It says, "Walks not after the flesh." What are the works of the flesh? Well, you're right. Galatians 5:19 and following list them. Adultery is one. Lasciviousness is one. Immorality is one. But there are others there also, such as anger, hatred, malice, criticism, bitterness. They're all there. And there are people all over this room who have not one time today even said a word to the Holy Spirit. You're condemned tonight. Not as far as your eternal record's concerned. You're going to heaven, but you stand condemned tonight as far as your condition with God and fellowship with God is concerned. Why? It didn't say that no condemnation to those who quit their sins. It didn't say no condemnation to those that turn over a new leaf. It said no condemnation if you walk in the Holy Spirit. And the average Christian doesn't even know what the Holy Spirit is all about. That's why you stand condemned. So there are two condemnations here. I want to say this tonight. It was a wonderful day in my life. Of course. And I realized that salvation was a work of God and not a work of mine. And I turned it over to Him and let Him do the saving. And I did the trusting. And God wrote on my heavenly record, no condemnation. But it was likewise a wonderful day, almost equal to that one, when I realized that the Holy Spirit was a person. And that Holy Spirit came into me to live when I got saved. That I could ask Him what to do. You say, Brother House, is it okay to listen to rock music? Won't you ask the Holy Spirit about that? Brother House, is it okay to watch movies, Hollywood movies on television? Ask the Holy Spirit about that. Ask Him. Okay to watch the soap operas? Check with the Holy Spirit. You get the place to where you're not concerned about what's right, what's wrong only. But you're concerned about pleasing God's Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, if you'll just do what I say, I'll guarantee you you'll not be condemned. No condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Where are you tonight? Huh? Where are you? Where are you? You're either before, middle, or last. Where are you? Have your sins been covered? Are you in Christ Jesus? Then there's no condemnation as far as God's concerned. Are you walking in the Spirit? Or do you do what your flesh wants to do? I'm not talking about just what we call the big sins. I'm talking about what your flesh wants to do. There are a lot of things that are not sinful that your flesh shouldn't do and the Holy Spirit wouldn't want you to do because you only have one life to live and 24 hours a day. You don't have time to do all the good things there are to do. That's a good statement. You don't have time in life to do all the good things there are to do. So that means the Holy Spirit lets you know which of the good things you're supposed to do. And that's what you call walking after the Spirit. Thank God tonight for the day when I settled it. Came to Christ and became in Christ Jesus. And God said, no condemnation! But thank God for that morning. Many years ago, when as a preacher, I was standing behind the pulpit of an empty auditorium preaching on the radio, when the Holy Spirit became a person to me. And I started asking Him what I should do, where I should go. Bless the message. Speak to our hearts. And those who've never settled this matter about the first no condemnation, settle it. Come and let the blood of Christ cleanse.